you would be pleased, the audience of one, that we're first of all conscious of your presence and then others who are here as well. We dedicate the service to you through your Son. Amen.
Good morning. Today's service is going to center around family and home. And, of course, a special emphasis today on mothers, of course, as it being Mother's Day. We're going to have several songs interspersed around some videos given by some of our precious ladies that are in the service. And so we're going to start today. Our first song is entitled, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. There's six verses of it. Let's stand and sing.
There's plenty of activity planned for the remainder of the service. We're going to hear from some familiar people that you're going to know on the screen. But before that, I have a charge I want to share to, especially mothers today. It could be a charge for all of us, but especially those of you who are moms or grandmoms, a charge to you found from 1 Samuel chapter 12. And the first charge that is given in this 1 Samuel 12:23 is for you moms to pray for your children. Make sure that you are praying for your children. If you want to say it another way, speak to God about your children. 1 Samuel chapter 12 is in a context where the Israelites know they have wronged God. They have approached the prophet, the leader Samuel, and they have insisted that they want a king. They want to be like all the other nations round about, and they want a king, and they insist on it. And they know in their insistence, it's in place of God. Instead of God being our leader, we want a visible leader, and they insist on it. And then they realize, we've done wrong. We've sinned against God. So they come before their leader, Samuel, and say, oh, please pray for us. And Samuel's response is this in verse 23 of chapter 12. Furthermore, as for me, far be it from me that I would sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. Samuel, as a leader, as a prophet, as a priest, a prophet, a spiritual leader, he viewed, if I am not sinning for praying for you, I would view that as sin against the Lord. I would be missing the mark. I would be missing the way. I would fall short of God's standard for you if I, as a leader, was not praying for you constantly, whether you've messed up or are doing well. And I think the parallel is so strong, isn't it, for moms? Don't be so busy that you're doing everything else and you're not praying for your children. View it just like Samuel did as a leader in Israel. If I'm not praying for you, I would view that as sin. I'm missing the mark of what God has for me as a mom that I want to be praying for you. So on a very practical level, I encourage you, and don't get caught up in this in a legalistic way, but I would encourage you, moms, pray for your children every single day. At least once every single day, pray for your children. And in addition to that, I would encourage you to pray with your children at least once every day. Not only for them when they might not be present, but with them. Pray with them at least once a day. Teach them about prayer throughout the day. Pray in a way that you would teach them that in the morning when you rise up, pray to the Lord. Before each meal, have a time where you would pray to the Lord. When they are facing a challenge, make it a training where they just think of praying for the Lord about that challenge. Before they go to sleep at night, encourage them and model for them to pray to the Lord. Teach them to give thanks to God when God does answer. Teach them the natural reaction is to give thanks to God because of the way he has answered. I also would encourage you to teach your kids to pray aloud so they get quite comfortable with praying aloud themselves. And the two of you together can get very comfortable with that. It's a natural thing that aloud we will pray to the Lord together. If you want a good place to begin, I encourage you to take the Lord's Prayer that he has given us in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, our Father who is in heaven. And just make that very natural that you and that child or children, they would pray. Yeah, I think that has to start here in terms of a charge as moms that prayer is such a high priority, not only for you, but also your children, teaching them in that area of prayer and modeling it as well. The next charge that follows that one is to instruct your children. Instruct them and teach them. That's what Samuel, this spiritual leader, says, far be it from me that I would sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, but I will instruct you in the good and right way. God has ways and paths that are pleasing to him on which he wants people to walk. And Samuel is aware that he has to communicate this to these people, the Israelites, and he was committed to instructing them and teaching them in these ways that would be pleasing to the Lord, so they wouldn't be ignorant of them. They would be reminded of them. They would be charged and take that seriously. And again, you can see how practical this can be for moms as they've got this responsibility of one child or several child or more than that, begin this instruction with them. And of course, what is implied here is there's the right way and there's the wrong way. The right way being pleasing to the Lord and wrong ways that are not pleasing to the Lord, and wanting to instruct and teach your children of those right ways that are pleasing to the Lord. So I encourage you, moms, to warn your children. Well, warn your children about those paths that are very tempting, but they are not pleasing to the Lord. And so give the warning there so they stay off of those paths. And instead, I encourage you to tell them of those upright paths that are pleasing to the Lord and keep on reinforcing those upright paths, because they need to hear it more than one time to be reinforced in their thinking that here is the right path that God would have for me that is pleasing to him. I would encourage you to instruct your children concerning relationships. Here are what God-honoring, healthy relationships look like, including the type of people you would date and might marry one day. Here is what a honorable, God-centered relationship looks like, and here's a way to have healthy relationships. And help your children understand those things. Demonstrate it with your own marriage as well. I think it's important also that you read the Bible with your children as much as you can on a daily basis. Read the Bible with the children, but more than that, teach them to read the Bible for themselves. So it's not dependent on you always being there to sit down with them, but you're instructing them in how to read the Bible for themselves and get something out of it. When they're younger, there are plenty of resources we can use. There's some fantastic picture Bibles that are out there that kids just love. As they read the story, they can look at those pictures, and it really helps them. Take advantage of those opportunities, but do it in such a way that they learn to read the Bible for themselves and they understand the importance of that. I think it's really crucial, moms, that you also instruct your kids to be teachable. This can be such a challenging area because pride gets in the way, doesn't it? And to be teachable yourself and then to instruct your kids of the importance of that humble teachableness throughout life, that is very important. And I urge you to, it's never too young to begin this process. Begin instructing your children at the youngest of ages, because what will happen as time goes on, you will have less and less opportunity to speak God's truth into their life. So speak it now when they're young and take advantage of the other opportunity. Then as the kids get older, you'll have less and less opportunity. God will still give opportunities and teachable moments. You can't force it as much, but you can be open to it and God will give it, especially if you've done well when they're younger. It'll be quite natural for them to come back to you with more questions and want more input in terms of instructing and understanding God's way. For the rest of the service, this will be mixed with a time of singing, and then we're going to hear from two or three ladies on the screen for the most part, answering this question: one thing I have learned from the Lord about or from mothering.
Philippians 1:20 says, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Let's stand and sing, Lord, be glorified. Seated.
Thing, but if I had to choose, I would say it was I was not in control, or I'm not in control. Very early on, I learned this lesson as a mother. In fact, the day my son was born, clearly remember seeing him for the first time, holding him for the first time. He was on my chest, and only minutes, maybe even seconds, it was hard to tell, they took him away from me and took him to examine him, and I didn't really know what was going on, but very shortly after that, they left the room with him, I assumed to examine him, and my husband left as well, and I didn't really know what was happening, but I knew that I was alone in this hospital room, and that I was clearly not in control. It was then that I prayed to God and said, you know, be with in that hospital room. I prayed to God to be with my baby in that moment. I didn't know what was happening, but I knew I was alone in this room and that I was clearly not in control. And it was then that I prayed to God really to be with my baby in that moment and, quite frankly, many moments to follow. not only just the days afterwards, but weeks afterwards and the entire month he was in the NICU. It was clear to me that God was telling me I was not in control, made that very obvious to me. But also something I continually learn every day, right? And I struggle with every day as someone who likes to be in control and in charge of things. Having a child is like, you know, being the least in control you ever thought you could be, right? And I just remember that I have to lean not on my own understanding, right? That I can't do it alone. I need God. I need my husband. I need many others to help me raise my child and know that I'm not going to be in control. And many surgeries that he had after that, I learned that I wasn't in control. And that's a hard lesson, only as a person, but as a mother. It's one that I continually remember and remind myself of, because I know that even though I'm not in control, God is. And I think that's an important lesson that I'll still struggle with in the days and weeks to come. But I did recently read a quote I thought was interesting. It said the most important thing that she had learned over the years as a mother was that there's no one way to be a perfect mother, but there are a million ways to be a great one. Happy Mother's Day.
I'm Ann Seberg. I remember after my firstborn son was born, holding this tiny little baby and being overcome with this incredible sense of responsibility. He was dependent on me for nutrition and growth. It was my job to facilitate his growth and development in cognitive, social, emotional, and spiritual things. I wanted to be a good steward of this tiny human that God has blessed us with. But kids have a way of bringing out the worst in you. And I made a lot of mistakes and failures and sinned many times. But one thing that I remember about being a mother is that God's plan for my kids are not thwarted by my sins and mistakes. God is sovereign, and for that I am thankful.
First Corinthians 4:2, those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Let's continue singing in our service, Find Us Faithful. Let's stand and sing.
Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful.
And you may be seated.
Sue York, what is one thing that you've learned about being a mother?
Well, the one thing that I've learned about being a mother was time. As every mother knows, that after those babies come, you have less time for yourself to do the things that maybe you had dreamed of doing. They say time is precious, but it slips away very fast. And Dean and I were blessed with three healthy children, and I've been so ever grateful to the Lord for that. Dean and I were married and moved to the farm, and that was 15 miles from Geneseo, our hometown. And for the next 2 years, I kind of learned how to be a farm wife, did quite a bit of cooking and gardening, and got acquainted with the community. And time went fast. But a lady and I started a new 4-H club. We had 9 little girls, 8 years old, and we got that off to a good start, and it was fun, but it was a time-consuming effort. We attended church at the Lorraine Church, Sunday School and Church, and when Deborah was about 2 years old, the pastor thought it would be a good idea if we started a toddlers class. We had quite a few little children at that time, so another lady and I set up and organized the toddlers class. And that went on for several years. But that was another time consumer, because that was the first time to start that. The church hadn't had toddler class before. And it was fun, but it was timely. As the children got older, we helped with the youth program and their activities. And at one time, Dean and I were chaperoned a camping trip for the youth group. And that was a memory time. As I've been thinking back through these years, I've had a lot of good memories in thinking about these past times. And then the children were in the scouting program. Kevin and Vance were both in Cub Scouts and a little bit in the scouting program. Deborah was in Brownies and she could be in the Scouts a little bit. But at the same time, when they were 8 years old, they could join 4-H. And so I was probably a pretty good time manager, time organizer for them to get all of their projects done. And then we did expect our children to do their best they could, not to be perfect, but to enjoy what they were doing and expand their knowledge and try different things, do different things. And I think this has proved to be what they were aiming for in those early years. Playing music is a brain enhancer, and so we encouraged our children to take piano lessons. So there again, I was kind of the timekeeper for half an hour practice on the piano every day. Kevin had a gift of singing. He sang his first solo when he was 4 years old at the Lorraine Church for Christmas program. And so we encouraged him to audition with the Moline Boys Choir. And that was a big time commitment, because mostly Kevin and I drove 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, to Moline for Moline Boys Choir practice. And then sometimes on the weekends for their programs and their special productions that they were doing. Even though it was a lot of time consumption, a lot of driving, it was time worthy, time well spent, and there's no regrets. We also took family vacations. We wanted to expose the children to what our good country had to offer, the culture, the beauty, the history, and so we tried to get time away every year for family time, pretty much, say, memory time. We had some good trips, and they learned a lot about our country. So even though children take a lot of our time, our effort, our finances, and their caring, it's time well spent. And especially when they grow up and grow older to be great, wonderful kids, like we have. There is an old saying, a mother holds her children's hands for just a little while, but holds their hearts forever. Mm. And there are times when you, as a mother, can't be the timekeeper, the caregiver, the overseer that you want to be. And it's those times that I've learned that you just have to let God do that. Mm-hmm. Let him take charge. Mm-hmm. And I hope that this memory time of mine has reached some of the ladies who have been mothers and given them some thoughts about their times in their past as young mothers. Happy Mother's Day, everyone.
This is Diane Blazer. Diane, what one thing have you learned about being a mother?
Oh gosh, you know, I've been giving this some thought ever since you asked me to do this, and to come up with one thing was really hard. It's like, wow, there's so many things you can learn as a young mom, as a mom of adult children, whatever. And probably the one thing that I learned the most is, you know, your house is going to be there all along as far as the cleanliness and everything, and if it gets cluttered, the most important thing that we felt as a family was spending time with our kids, playing games with our kids. Blazers were a big game family, and we've always played games with our children, and outside, whether it be outside or, you know, board games or whatever it is, but we spent as much of the quality time that we could with our kids, and going on vacations and making a family vacation a priority. And so now, being a mom of adult children, it's just kind of been carried with them, and we still have family game nights, and it's just a bond that has made our family really strong. Mm. And I feel that that has just been a really important part of our life.
This is my dear wife, Rachel Frazee, and mother of our four dear children. Rachel, what is something you've learned from being a mother?
Well, first, I'd like to shout out a kudos for all the single moms, because I could not imagine being a mom without the support of my husband and father of our children. And I'd also like to share one of my favorite verses for motherhood. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." As a mother of four children born over a period of 10 and a half years, and then helping to raise a granddaughter for almost 5 years, I've learned how important it is to recognize the differences in your children. I always acknowledge that each child was different, but I found myself often trying to treat all the children alike with the idea of being fair, especially in the area of discipline. Now, there were certain expectations that we had of all of our kids when it came to character building and what was right and wrong. But I realized about the time our second one turned 3 that each child responded differently to discipline. She was the sensitive one, and sometimes a stern look or a verbal reprimand was all it took. But our oldest, the risk taker, would keep testing the limits until a more severe consequence was used. And then 2 more came along, and they required different types of discipline. Praying for wisdom throughout the day became a crucial part of mothering. During our children's elementary years, I realized that if each child was different, each is going to need different opportunities to discover their interests outside of church and school. So we joined the YMCA to expose them to different sports for short periods of time. We figured that this mini participation would help our kids decide whether sports was for them or if they wanted to pursue other activities. As they grew, each of them tried different sports. Some of them tried scouts, some drama, some music lessons. But eventually they narrowed down their interests to 1 or 2 that they really enjoyed. As a stay-at-home mom, my focus was just not on the home, but it was also on making it work so each child could develop and grow in their own talents without interfering with our priorities of church and school. I learned that giving your kids opportunities to help them discover their own interests is many times not convenient. There were times that our interests coincided, but most of the time I had to get involved in their interests and put aside my own. But now that our children are grown, I'm finding out how much that meant to them. When my oldest became an adolescent, life became very difficult. I was trying to keep up with a new teenager and a toddler with two in between. Many times, I thought I had two toddlers. I became rather critical of my oldest, which at the time I thought he needed, but he was actually feeling unloved. One day, during one of our many disagreements, there was so much anger and hate in his eyes toward me, it actually scared me. I remembered praying, "God, what do I do?" I was prompted to reach out and put my arms around him. And I held him tight and close, and I was praying silently, and he began to cry. At that time, I reassured him that I loved him, and I could just feel the tension leave him. Here was my smart aleck, risk-taking, mean brother to his siblings, who was a young teenage boy who just needed a hug and reassurance from his mom. I realized then how each of my children perceived love from their parents differently, and how with their different personalities, they also had different love languages. I was a mom who did things for her family to show love to them, but that wasn't always what each individual needed. I continued learning as the rest of the kids went through their teens and early 20s that God will give wisdom to know how to respond to each child's differences if you ask him.
Just give thanks for our moms, and feel free to express that aloud if you want to. But let's give thanks to for the moms that God has blessed us with. And there's so many angles we can come at this, aren't there? There's so many ways we can think about it in terms of praying for mothers, praying for grandmothers, praying for those today who are missing their moms. Their mom isn't here now, and that was recent that it's happened in some cases, and it's very tough emotionally. We should pray for our daughters. We should pray for women who have not been able to have children and the struggle that goes with that. And just pray for our singles as well, those who are single and have that gift, that they will continue to be content and be able to serve the Lord. And those who are single don't want that gift. They want to be married, and just pray for guidance and provision there as well. So let's take some time to pray. Feel free to pray aloud if you want to. Father, I thank you for the way you've designed the family. Thank you for the strategic role that moms and wives have played in this, and grandmoms as well play such a strategic role in the unique opportunity they have as well. And we thank you for those individuals you've placed in our lives. It wasn't by chance. It was by your design. And thank you for them and the way they have had a crucial role in forming what we are today. And so we pray that there'll be much encouragement. I pray for the moms who are frustrated today, that you would give them some fresh wind, give them some encouragement, give them some thoughts and support, and just that reassurance that they need to keep on keeping on, faithful as they can in your ways, and it's going to pay off. I pray, Father, for those who are sorrowful as they think about their mom. Maybe it wasn't a good experience. And I just pray that such ladies can find reassurance of your love and renewal in your love as well. I pray, Father, for our daughters, that you will guide them to follow your ways, to trust you, even when it's hard to trust you, to learn to wait and know that that's appropriate, and understand the roles that you have for them as well. We pray, Father, for those who are not able to have children, and yet maybe they've been able to be a spiritual mom to someone or adopt children, and thank you for that blessing and that opportunity. And Lord, we know you do all things well, and just pray for the ability to rest in you and all of that. And for the singles, Lord, for those who have the gift of celibacy and they're more effective with the use of their time and service to you, thank you for that. They're complete in you, and may they just be reassured in that and hear from us the message that you're in your giftedness and you're being effective, and we can encourage them and then welcome what they have for us to do. We pray also for those who are wanting to not remain single, wanting that husband in their life, again, they can wait on you and know that right now they can still be faithful with what you've given them. So I pray, Father, in this day and when we honor mothers, that each lady here will hear the Holy Spirit speaking to them and say, this is the way, walk in it. Through the name of your Son, amen.
Galatians 5:13, serve one another in love. Let's continue our service by singing the servant song. Let's stand and sing.
Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let me be my servant too. We are pilgrims on a journey with together on this road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. I will hold the Christ light for you in the nighttime of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, speak the peace you long to hear. I will reap when you are weeping, when you laugh, I will laugh with you.
One mother I approached wanted to be anonymous, and so she wrote this, her thoughts in answering that question that we've raised. I have pondered your question of what I have learned by being a mother. My thoughts wandered to the inexplicable, overwhelming love that crashed over me when I heard my child's heartbeat for the first time. And when I first held him in my arms as he cried and soothed him with the sound of my voice. Then my wondering took me to the journey through times of joys and challenges, accomplishments and disappointments, encouragements and repentance. But as life has traveled on, that love within my heart remains a love that would sacrifice to help bring the best for that child unconditionally. But this mother's love within me, though great, is exceedingly surpassed when compared to God's inexplicable love, overwhelming love for his children. For in the midst of our sin, failure, and rebellion, he answers with sacrifice, love, grace, and forgiveness, which is perfectly boundless. And again, my mind wanders to Paul's words in Ephesians, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:14-19. These words take me in my mind to the ocean's edge, where my eyes gaze upon the water, where my feet are tucked in the sand and the waves gently ripple over my toes. As I stand in awe at the edge of the ocean, I look to the sky, but I cannot see the end of its height. I look to the sea, but I cannot see the end of its depths. I look to the horizon, but I cannot see the end of its length. These eyes are limited to physical abilities, but God surpasses limitations. His love surpasses what we see with our eyes, touch with our hands, and feel in our human hearts. So when we begin to ponder the magnitude of his love for us, a love beyond height, depth, and length, where no sin is too great nor failure unforgivable for the gift of his sacrificial love, at that point when we marvel at the boundless, unconditional love of God, it crashes over us like the ocean waves engulfing us entirely. It is in this moment that I'm able to answer your question. So what have I learned by being a mother? That I have been given the gift of a glimpse into God's overwhelming, unmeasurable, surpassing, sacrificial love for me.
It's great to have Stephanie Ross sharing with us today. Stephanie, what's one thing that you've learned from being a mom?
Well, from being a mom, I mean, I've learned many things. But one of the things that sticks out to me is patience. Just for many reasons, I've just had to learn patience, of course, from the time they were infants. Even more so now that they're growing older. I have a teenager, and then the two boys. They will soon be teenagers, but just being patient with them. I know there were times when they were younger, you know, I felt like I tried to kind of rush the baby stages. I just always thought that, okay, once these bottle phases are done with, then I'll have more peace and more calm. But then you have the walking stages and then the potty training stages. So just through each of those times, I've just had to remind myself to stay patient. And a verse that I have, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understandings. Just for that part, I just myself trying to make it through, it's not enough. I can't do it on my own. And I've always had to just reflect back and know that God understands, God knows everything that I'm going through. Each stage that I go through, God is aware, and I can just kind of let it rest with God. Fast forwarding, like I said, to them now, my oldest being a teenager, it's more of trying to go through it the mental route, just trying to mentally understand what they're thinking, how they're processing life, how they see themselves. And we are sinners. We are all going to sin, me, my children, and I just have to recognize that they're going to have to fall and be able to trust in God, you know, through their failures. I'm not their God, you know. It's like, okay, God has gifted me these children, and, you know, my job is to lead them and guide them where they should go. So just just being patient and trying to be understanding with all of that. And I honestly, it's hard. I question myself every day, but I just, you know, I just try to remain just faithful. And I've learned that I cannot do it alone. Just as much as I can, you know, just surrounding myself with believers. Yeah, just patience and learning that I cannot do it all on my own. I have to have faith in God. I have to trust. Like I said, it's still a learning process, but that's just what I've learned, you know, going through these different stages. I mean, I guess looking back, I don't think I would have it any other way. I mean, it's like, okay, well, would I want this to be a little easier? But then I don't think I would be able to look back and just see what God has brought me through. So I just see it as a growing and learning process in between, and just for the future, knowing that God has my kids. He has his best interest in my children, you know. And as a mother, I get to watch and see them grow, you know, in their journey and see them learn. So, yeah, just constantly having that patience and trusting. So, yeah, that's what I've learned, and I'm still learning. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're glad to have Sharon Hannah sharing with us today. Sharon, what's the one thing that you learned from being a mother?
I think the biggest thing was the importance of listening. I was blessed with being the mother to two precious daughters, one of whom is now in heaven. But I found that when children start to talk, it usually isn't very plain. And one of my daughters had speech difficulties and required speech therapy. So I found at that time the importance of listening in order to understand what she was talking about. And as time went on and they became students at school, I enjoyed listening to the experiences of their day, their problems, their experiences, and so forth. We cannot always solve our children's problems, but I felt like it was always important to be available to lend a listening ear to what they have to say. And today I see that same interaction taking place with my daughter and her children. To me, listening has many forms. Listening with your ears, listening with your heart, and listening to the Lord. And incidentally, that daughter that needed the speech therapy still calls to check on us every night, so I am still listening.
John 14:23, those who love me will obey my teaching, and my Father will love them. Let's stand and sing, Happy Our Home When God Is There.
Happy our home when God is there, binding our hearts in love, blessing each day with moments shared, drawing our
Well, I hope you were encouraged by our service today. I hope there was at least one thought that has struck you, and it's like, well, I've got to dwell on that a little bit and develop that a little bit in my life as well, or something you need the encouragement to keep on persevering in. Keep at it by the grace of Christ. Please feel free to stay for our classes that follow. And ladies, whether you're a mom or not, feel free to grab one of those chocolate treats on the way out through the atrium. Guys, leave it for the ladies. Don't you take them then. But it's always my privilege every service to offer someone the opportunity to respond to Jesus Christ. And if you're here today, you've never come to faith in Jesus Christ. The good news is he's a forgiving God. And no matter how much you've sinned and messed up your life and how much regret you have, he's willing to forgive you if you would turn to him and come to him and make you a new creature in Christ and begin to form you the way he wants to form your life. So I just invite you to respond to him. And if that's a mom today that you've got a life of regrets, it's not too late to come to Christ and say, forgive me for what I've done and make up for what I've done, and you can experience that as well. So may you have a happy Mother's Day, and I hope that these thoughts will be with you through the rest of the week. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are the one that can keep us from stumbling, and when we do stumble, you help us up and help us to move on. And I thank you for the sincerity of each of the ladies that shared with their own struggles, their own shortcomings, their own struggles they continue to wonder about in each stage of life. And you are with them. And I pray that each one can know that today, that you want to be with us. And for the one who hasn't responded to Christ, may they sense that prompting. Now is the time. Now is the time to come and experience forgiveness and new life in Christ. Father, help our homes to be strong. Help our moms and grandmoms to be strong as well. We dedicate ourselves freshly to you by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Mother's Day.